For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood. In many schools around the nation, concerns over discipline in the last few decades has led to so-called zero-tolerance policies. But many people have decried their broad application to situations such as a student cursing on social media from home and a child bringing a butter knife to school with her lunch. According to University of South Carolina law professor Derek Black, suspension and expulsion rates have doubled in the past 30 years through zero-tolerance policies as schools look to reduce discipline problems. But he said anytime a school ignores the circumstances of a child's misbehavior, it's counterproductive both to school quality and better behavior.
If the student is misbehaving because they're struggling academically, and then we suspend that student, in that circumstance, it makes it even worse because we have a student who's academically struggling, and now we're actually removing them from the classroom for 5, 10 days. They're going to be in even worse shape when they return, and therefore even more likely to engage in the same sort of behavior that got them suspended or expelled recently.
Doing research for a recent book, Black found that national studies showed suspensions and expulsions of even elementary and preschool children to be much higher than he expected.
And the other thing that they found, which was interesting, is that making the decision to suspend a child sort of labels them as being worthy of suspension or expulsion, so the decision to do it again becomes far more easy, right? And that first suspension is crossing the Rubicon, and once you do it, there's no inhibition to doing it later. And it's not based upon behavior, it's based upon sort of past suspension in some respects.
Black contends that zero-tolerance policies can even lead to fuller prisons.
Suspension really is the gateway to incarceration because once you get 2 or 3 suspensions, particularly at the high school level, dropout becomes astronomically high. So that first decision to cross the Rubicon and suspend a child very easily spirals out of control into dropout, incarceration, unemployment, those sorts of things.
Some see value in zero tolerance, however. Dr. Nisa Sasser-Hartford, a Texas educator, said zero tolerance was appropriate for cases of guns, drugs, and sexual improprieties.
Those type of reprimands can certainly go into another nature, criminal nature. Those are issues that have to be tackled with simplicity based on the goals that the district has set for those type of infractions. So yes, for those 3 instances, guns, drugs, and anything of the sexual nature.
Sasser-Hartford said these policies have been shown to work in these situations.
It's had a proven record in the past, and the students know that. They know if they bring drugs or they come under the influence, they know what is about to happen. It's no type of conversation, well, what if we do this, what if we do that, because that kind of dilutes the potency of the punishment. So I feel that there is success in those 3 areas with zero tolerance.
Though he objects to zero tolerance, Black admitted it can work in one instance.
Ironically, the instance in which I think a zero tolerance straightens out the kid is actually the good kid. You know, that sort of fear of being seen as a bad kid, I think it does straighten out the good kid. But for the struggling kid, there's a lot going on there that needs to be addressed. And for that kid, suspension doesn't really respond to their needs.
Zero tolerance is cheap in the short term, said Black, but considering the cost of juvenile justice and the lost achievement that represents, expulsion is much more expensive than keeping kids in school. Sasser-Hartford agreed, saying zero tolerance could become outdated in the coming years, at least in most cases. This report also can be heard on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.